Hello, are we on? Yes. Good morning, good day, or good evening, my dear friends. This is Victoria Butenko talking to you live from Southern Oregon. Welcome to our teleconference. It is my great privilege to introduce today my friend Clint. Can you say hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
hello,
and
everybody.
His beautiful wife Misty here.
Hi.
Hi, Misty.
Hello.
And with me, I have my dear friend Robert, who is also our web designer. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
And we have our dear friend and helper Jen, who will be reading the questions today.
Hello.
Let me unmute you for a few moments now so that we can hear actual voices of each other. I'm aware that most of you are listening to us via internet, but if there are any listeners on the phone, this is your time to speak up. I might feel as if I'm talking to myself, so please tell us your...
This is Martha from Atlanta.
Hello?
Yes, this is Martha from Atlanta.
Oh, from Atlanta.
Yes.
And
this
anybody
Faith.
Else?
Yeah,
I'm
this
Vicky
is Faith from Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, welcome.
Yes. All right.
Vicky from California.
Vicky, welcome. Glenn, do you want to say something? Just say hi or something.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay. Okay, so and now we're going to be muting you back. And we have received lots of questions. And Jen will be reading questions one at a time. In the very end of the teleconference, we will unmute you again and let you share any feedback. You're welcome to send questions to Clint by email at any time. Robert is going to be receiving them and printing them out and giving them to Jen, and Jen will read them. I also wanted to say that some statistics here. That there are 23.6 million people in the United States who were diagnosed with diabetes, which is also 8% of the population. The total prevalence of diabetes increased 13.5% from 2005 through 2007, and if this growth of diabetes will continue, from everybody born in 2000, in the year of 2000, every third person will develop diabetes in their lifetime. Okay, so Jen, are you ready? Okay, here's the first question.
Okay, this question is for Clint. It's from Diane in Ohio. Can you give us an example of what you ate for a day when you first started? Did you go cold turkey and just drink green smoothies?
No, actually, I ended up in learning from a friend of mine who was a great teacher in the raw food world of how to change my diet so that I could have better health. So the first thing I did was I applied what I learned from him, and it did. I didn't do green smoothies. It took me probably a year before I decided that green smoothies was for me. I first had mostly an 85% raw, 15% cooked diet to get myself kind of going with it. It was a lot easier to start that way for me than going 100% raw, because every time I tried to do something 100% raw, it would just, I'd have these really strong cravings. And I know cravings are detoxes, and I had to overcome those detoxes before I could actually start eating more raw foods. So at this point, I would eventually like to kind of share my story a little bit about how I kind of transitioned from cooked foods into the raw world. But for right now, as far as the beginning, I did start off 85-15, pretty much 85 raw, or 85 raw, 15% cooked.
Okay. The next question is also from Diane. Did you drink green smoothies every 2 hours?
Yes, once I started drinking green smoothies, I decided that when I got on the plan of doing this, that it would be easier for me to not be hungry all the time. So I needed to keep myself occupied, with my stomach happy, and I would drink smoothies every 2 hours. It also, I've learned that continually eating throughout the day many meals and not just three big meals a day, your body's metabolism seems to speed up a little bit, and it helps you lose weight.
Okay. Another question from Diane. How do you or did you maintain your eating discipline at the beginning?
Well, maintaining was very difficult. I had to do a lot of reading to get the information on how to do it. I read countless amount of books that were provided to me by my Dr. Donato, and I'll share a little more about who he is later. In order for me to overcome, what was that question again? I'm sorry, about the cravings.
How did you maintain your eating discipline?
I had to make a plan on what I was going to eat for the day, and I took about half an hour out to throw all my food together. And actually, I have my lunchbox here today. I can use this as a basis. I ended up deciding that I wanted to have at least 4 green smoothies a day, which is approximately 64 fluid ounces, which is a whole pitcher. So throughout the day, I'll have 4 of those. And in between meals, and sometimes at the same time, depending on it, I wanted to have something to chew on. So I had a hard time being 100% green smoothie, so the chewing really helped alleviate a lot of the problems once I got 100% raw. And I would have cucumbers, and I would throw a little snack bag together, and inside the snack bag would have raw green beans. These are all organic, by the way. Asparagus, cauliflower, different kinds of squash, peppers.
I see that you have all your greens pre-washed and cut and neatly packed in a Ziploc bag, which is, I believe, is not a gallon. It's smaller than, it's a sandwich size, but it's all packed. And what is red?
I have a lot of organic tomatoes.
Oh, those are cherry tomatoes.
Cherry tomatoes, yes.
I thought it was cherries.
Yeah, I love to snack on those for something sweet, because, I eat more veggies than I do fruit, and when I really need to have something sweet, you know, I'll grab a peach or a slice of pineapple or something, whatever I can to kill that craving or just to have something to eat. But I'm really moderate with my fruit. I try to spend more time eating raw fruits or raw vegetables and stuff when I do chew on them. Most of my fruit I'm having in my smoothies.
And before Jen will read the next question, I wanted to let everybody know that we are not medical doctors here, and we are sharing just like your friends who have some interesting experience, and you interested in hearing about it more. So here's Jen.
Okay, the next question is from Margaret. She says, I have been trying to go raw now for a long time. I've been living in a small farming community, and the people here just laugh at me if I asked to start some kind of raw food support group. My question is, how can I do this on my own? I just keep sliding back and keep gaining more and more weight. I know my health is going downhill, and I've been told that I am pre-diabetic, but I just do not seem to be able to go raw. Plus, I live on a small income and do not have access to much organic food.
I think a support group, putting together a support group would be a great idea. I'm not 100% sure about how to do that. I'm sure Victoria might have some ideas. But I do know if you could maybe put an ad in the paper, those who are interested, and have a meeting place. You could get people together who are more interested in raw foods and maybe share with the group information and books and things like that that everybody can read and come up with some new ideas. I think that would be a great idea.
How are you doing it on your own?
I have a lot of support, and it's at first I had trouble asking for help, but all the help was there for me in the first place. As I'll share later, I have a friend of mine named Dr. Donato, and he actually has a Get Healthy Boot Camp. And once a month, he does have a support group, which I've never attended, but I do see him on a regular basis at the gym. He likes to spend time with me about 3 days a week, lifting weights and stuff like that. And he gives me lots of feedback. I have a lot of questions. Plus, we do a lot of talking over email because we're both real busy.
You say you're going to gym 3 times a week, but I remember you were saying in February that the doctors forbidden you to go to gym. They said that you cannot do any exercising because you could die.
Yeah, I ended up in, I was so sick that every time I tried to do something strenuous exercise-wise, I would end up in hurting myself. I'd pull a muscle here or there. Or, you know, I think they were more concerned about my internal organs getting injured, like my pancreas, because my pancreas completely shut down about 2 years ago, and so I had to really worry about that. But since I started doing 100% raw foods, my weight decreased a lot. And we decided, because I was getting hurt so much around in between the 350-400 range is how much I weighed at that time, because I was getting hurt so much, they said, well, why don't we just wait until we get you under 300 pounds and then see how you can do then. That was a good idea, I think, for me, because I found that it was easy for the weight to fall off even though I wasn't exercising. So that's kind of why I started working out around the, about 4 months ago. I got down to about 298, and then Dr. Donato said, let's go hit the gym. I want to make sure you're doing it right, and I'll teach you the ropes, and we'll make sure that we get a plan of action with exercise rolling, because that's a very important thing. And we'll anyway, he just wanted me to make sure I have exercise in my life, and at that point I was able to. It took me a while to get down to that point, but it feels great. I'm able to do that now. I've actually I think I've gained about 15 pounds of lean muscle mass since in 4 months.
Clint, what is your total loss of weight since you started? You started on January.
January 26th of this year.
And now you lost how much?
I've lost 164 pounds, and that's 6 months and 1 week. It was an amazing journey.
Congratulations. That is amazing.
Thank
that
you.
Is, you're like my hero. You are my hero.
Well, I'm glad, because
you
are mine. I just want to be an inspiration to many others who believe that they have a hard time learning about raw foods and about losing weight and their conditions. And I think that I want to be that inspiration for those who need to help themselves.
Okay, I think this next question from Martha in Georgia relates to what we've been talking about. My muscle atrophy from arthritis limits my mobility, thus I also have poor circulation from diabetes, and it's challenging to exercise. Do you have any suggestions for how I can become more mobile and get exercise?
Well, yes, kind of what I was just talking about. Just remember, I'm not a doctor. This is my personal life experience. And I just want you to know that from what I have learned in my journey, be good to yourself. Start off slow. I think that it's very important to learn how to change your diet to a more raw food lifestyle, even if you're only doing 50-50 to start with. Just get yourself going and lose whatever weight you need to lose, and your body will start to get stronger, and your internal organs will start working better, and you'll see it in the blood work if you're monitoring it. It'll just amaze you. I think that just having one green smoothie a day in replace of at least one meal will greatly increase your energy, the way you feel, and you'll be able to exercise. You'll be able to start introducing that into your life, and start out small. Exercise doesn't have to be down at the gym lifting 500 pounds and showing off. Just go out and walk. Walking until you can walk slow, and just take your time, and get used to it. Start walking a little bit uphill, and then when it gets easier, walk a little faster, and then eventually you can get to the point where you can start doing more aerobic stuff, such as going on a treadmill at a 3 speed and going for a longer distance or for longer times, like 10 minutes at first and then 15 the next day, and increase your exercise. You will get better. I've noticed. I that's how I did it. Any more questions?
Yeah, this is also from Martha. How can I begin to detox and clean out my body and heal from diabetes, arthritis, and high blood pressure?
Well, detox is one of the most horrible things you can go through. I've experienced some really bad stuff along the way, and that's a big field to talk about. Detoxing, you need to start the day off with some kind of a vegetable juice, and give yourself some time to do this. You might want to like find a week you can get away from work, or if you can't do that, do it on your days off to start with, because when you go 100% raw and you start detoxing, you're going to experience some nausea, some really bad headaches. The headaches will cause nausea. There's going to be pimples popping up. You're going to have some gas problems. Some people even experience some constipation. I did have some of that in the beginning. To make it easier for you as far as constipation goes, you can find a mild colon cleanser and like a super colon cleanse, something that has a lot of good flora, bacterial flora, like probiotics. I know Hallelujah Acres at hacres.com, they do have a product that seems to be really gentle. It was for me anyway, and that helps keep your colon cleanse. What a lot of people don't realize is that we have this milky coatings in the inside of our colon that protects us from the foods we eat, all the poisons that are in the foods that we eat. And as we continue to eat these things, the mucous membrane gets thicker. And when we decrease those things by eating more pure foods, such as a raw food, the milky lining starts to decrease because we're going, oh, hey, Clint's finally eating the right stuff. You know, he's eating things that I enjoy. There are so many vitamins and nutrients in those things, in the vegetables and fruits that we eat, that it allows our body to decrease that lining so we can easily take in those vitamins. And when our colon is dirty and full of processed foods and things that don't go through your body, like with green smoothies for me and regular fruits and vegetables, it's one meal in, one meal out. That's the way it should be, and it's the way it is in nature. When you're eating processed foods and putting all that garbage and poison into your body, your colon gets clogged up. It doesn't know what to do. It just increases that that coating in the colon. And a lot of times people will end up go on diets. They'll decrease the amount of calories they take in, but they're still eating all these poisonous foods that are processed. And what happens is the people start getting sick. So you have to be really careful about how you detox. Slowly ease yourself off of a cooked food diet by going 85% cooked raw and then 15% cooked. You know, have your juices in the morning, which is really important to have. You want to start the beginning of your day up to about 11 o'clock of just drinking fluids. And the best fluids for you to have would be a carrot juice and some wheatgrass, or one or either the other. But I know wheatgrass can be pungent if you're trying to get used to it, but this is very important because you're cleaning your body out. And then you want to start your meals after about 11 o'clock, and I would start with a light salad and a piece of fruit. Whatever you feel comfortable with eating, as long as it's something raw that would keep you going. And at night, to get your cravings away from the cooked foods, you can slowly get off of the cooked foods by eating a baked potato and maybe put a little bit of a fresh salsa that you made yourself in a blender, or put some garlic powder on it or whatever, something that's other than processed foods. and that will help you alleviate those detox symptoms, and you will slowly detox instead of detoxing so fast and all at once. Detoxing is dangerous, but if you do it right, like I said, I'm not a doctor, but you got to remember that you should study more about detoxing as far as what you can do to not get yourself sick, because some people, who especially those on medication, will try to go 100% raw real fast, and then their medication they're taking for all their different conditions is so poisonous, it's going to come out fast. And so you want to ease yourself into a 100% raw diet, otherwise you will get sick. And you can probably, it's a real big area, and I strongly caution how you detox.
Yeah, I want to add a little tip about detoxing. If someone will begin to detox really, really heavily, half cup of cooked rice will stop it or slow down tremendously.
That's a good idea. Something to, you know, and it's a plant-based. Rice is plant-based, too, so you don't have to worry about the starches and stuff that are in the rice. People tend to worry too much about starch. I think with fruits and vegetables, you don't have to worry about those things. You get plenty of nutrients from all that stuff, and it's not going to bog your body down. But the colon is a big thing, man. That's where we get all of our nutrients from. And if you don't keep your colon cleaned out, and your liver starts, or your body starts looking for nutrition, you know, and it doesn't have it coming in your mouth because you didn't eat that morning or whatever, it's going to go back to your colon, and guess what's still sitting in your colon? All those poisons that your body was trying to get rid of, but you're so backed up from all the processed foods that there's no way for it to get out. So you're taking poison back in, and it's possible to reabsorb those poisons.
Wow, Clint, you have such a clear picture of what's happening in your guts. This is amazing. And you, as far as I know, you work at Costco.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell a story that happened in real life. When happened one time in my life that I gave my Costco card to my daughter because I needed to buy something and I couldn't go, and I asked her to go. And I just told her, just tell them you're Victoria Butenko. And Clint happened to be at that cash register. And so Valya gives him the card, and he says, "Oh, so you are Victoria Butenko." And Valya didn't have anything to say but, "Yes, I am." And Clint looked at her and said, "Oh, I read all your books." And then she said, "Well, thank you." And then Clint said, "You know what? In real life, you look a lot younger." Valya came so red, and he knew right away she was lying. So that's how we met Clint. And now you, so knowledgeable, Clint, you can even teach classes about how to, how to detox and about healthy living. And can you share with us about the motivations and how do you feel different from how you lived your life before being a obese person? I could say morbidly obese person. And how do you feel living now? Do people recognize you? And just can you share about us these experiences? Because this is something we cannot hear anywhere. I don't know anybody who would share this with me. Of course, I used to be morbidly obese myself. And can you share with us your experience?
Yes. You may have to help me every now and then to remind me what I was talking about, because I might go off the beaten trail here for a little bit. But, yeah, in the beginning, I never learned how to eat the proper way, and my parents never did. When we grew up, all we knew about were meat and potatoes, and you know, maybe we'd have a little bit of greens or whatever on our plate, but it wasn't really a whole lot. We were taught to cook everything, and that's how my parents were taught. They didn't know any better. And I think that as I got to be an adult, I didn't really understand wholly, even though I went to school and they try to teach you how to eat properly by like an FDA program or whatever. I would just eat whatever was there, whatever was available. I mean, like I would say in college days, early 20s, it would be a custom for me to just grab a bunch of spaghetti, some sauce, and have it in the refrigerator for a week because it was so easy to make. And that famous Top Ramen noodles, oh, man, those things are great. It's loaded with salt, tastes awesome. But it would, I think it, I'm sure that was a lot of the reason why I gained weight, because I had no knowledge of how to eat and be, and to be, you know, completely healthy. I had a lot of, growing up was difficult because, you know, around here, around where I live, most of the areas I live are mostly city, and I see like a fast food joint on every corner. So 1 week would be Burger King, next week, you know, it, my favorites would be Taco Bell, and I'd just go on and on and on and eat all those processed foods, and I would just get sick.
So is it different between how people treated you when you were obese from how the people treat you now?
Oh, absolutely. When I, while I was overweight, I had a lot of people stop and stare at me as I'd be walking down the street or at work. People would give me dirty looks or look me up and down, and I didn't really appreciate it very much. I noticed that people are very evil and mean and angry, and they look at other things to point their frustration out to take the pressure off themselves, I noticed. And I was a good person to pick on, and so being overweight was really hard. Because
How did you know this? Maybe it was your imagination. How did you know? Do you remember anything?
Oh, I remember that, you know, people picking and pointing and you know, say, oh, look, there's a fat guy, or, you know, people's kids would be in shopping carts or whatever. I'd be at the grocery store, and they go, oh, Mom, look at that fat guy. And I would turn and look, and I realized, and they're like, shh, be quiet, you know, but then I'd see them smiling and laughing, and they teach their kids how to pick on people who are overweight. So it was very difficult for me to deal with it. It got to the point where I never wanted to leave my house because I was always being picked on. I had a recent, just before I started to lose weight, I was at Costco, and I had problems with my diabetes. My sugar dropped really low. I was shaking real bad, and I needed to eat something more than what I was eating. I was transitioning into more raw, and somehow I just had a hard time with my sugar at that point. So I went over and grabbed a piece of pizza from the stand, and I had about 5 minutes till I had to get back on the clock. So I walked over to the area, and I was eating it fairly quickly, and I looked over across from me, and there was a lady who was mimicking me and putting her hand in front of her face and chomping her mouth like I was eating real fast, and gave me a real dirty look, and I didn't know how to respond to that. It was horrible. And that was only 6 months ago.
Well, I can imagine with obesity being so prevalent in this country, many people feel like that.
Yes.
Yes. And so how does it feel now?
Oh, that's great. I have people constantly patting me on the back, telling me how good I look, and I have customers who come in and visit me, and they claim they're coming just to come and see me, to see my progress each week, because I seem to be losing weight so fast. They're telling me they're keeping an eye on me.
This should be rewarding.
Oh, it's fun. I even had my boss at Costco come up to me and say, hey, you know, you're looking really good. What are you doing? You know, maybe we ought to put you in our Costco employee newsletter.
Yay.
You know, that goes around the country. So
sure. That would be awesome.
Yeah, so that would be a lot of inspiration for others as well. You know?
Thank you so much for sharing all of that. I am sure it's not that easy to share these things. But let's go back to questions.
Okay. This question is from Richard. Is there any way to know if your improved blood sugar control is the result of weight loss or the raw diet?
That's a tough one for me. I noticed that my blood sugar started getting better as soon as I started doing a raw food diet. But I do believe that from what I've learned, that being overweight does cause sugar problems. I don't know the scientific reasoning behind it. I've tried to study some of it. I've been more into learning how to eat better and watching myself continue to stay off medication. And I think it has a lot more to do with going on the raw foods is the reason behind the better blood sugars. Let me see if I think about this. As far as the raw foods go, I think the nutrients you receive from the raw foods help your organs work better. So your sugars actually and your blood pressure goes down. So it really does help.
I think you're right that it's raw food helps to maintain the blood sugar, because Dr. Gabriel Cousins, in his recent study where he placed five diabetics on raw food for 30 days, within 5 days they were all off insulin because their blood sugar was normalized, even though they still were very obese.
Yeah. You know, I did notice when I first, I got to tell you guys about this. When I was first dealing with the doctors, they had me on so many different medications that it just amazed me. I had one for my, you know, arrhythmia, one for my high blood pressure, one for all kind. I mean, acid stomach. I was just taking a handful of just crazy medication. I was shooting needles in my stomach, the insulin and the Byetta enzymes, and it kept telling me, you know, you got to do this for the rest of your life. You know, if your pancreas is damaged. And as I began to learn about raw foods and transition myself, I noticed that my blood work was looking better, especially the first couple of weeks. And by the third week, I was feeling pretty good, even though I was taking medication. So I decided that I do a little experiment. The doctor, both my doctors, my endocrinologist and my personal physician, told me that not to stray from the medication until they told me. So they weren't really going to help me there. So I decided that I'd do an experiment to see what happened, what would happen, because I had all the medication at the house with me. So I decided to cold turkey take all my medications away and see what happened. And to my surprise, my blood sugars went down even more. I even got better. My my blood pressure got better. I'm telling you, I was looking at a 185 over 112 with a heart rate of over 95. And now, or as it got better, I was looking more in the neighborhood of 130 over 190 or over 90. And I actually was amazed. It was just getting better. So, and even when I did more, when I started to walk more, and with the raw foods and stuff, it got even better than that. I mean, at this point right now, like this morning when I checked my blood pressure, I was at 105 over 67. And that is just an amazing transition in a six-month period. I don't think I know of anybody who's been able to do that with drugs. As soon as the drugs came out of my body, I got 10 times better than I was with the drugs.
Yeah, and I wanted to say again that we are not recommending that if you're taking medication that you just abruptly stop taking it. And, of course, Clint has been monitoring himself very closely, and he is self-responsible, and he's doing and studying and reading all these books. But it's an amazing experience that actually Clint says that he felt better since he stopped taking medication. That's really pretty amazing.
Yes. Do you have any more questions?
Oh, yeah,
did I answer that one all the way? Okay, good.
Okay, the next question is for Victoria from Vicky in California. Do you find that some diabetics cannot handle much fruit in the diet? I've been incorporating more raw foods in my diet along with your smoothies, but find my blood sugar levels going up. I wasn't eating fruit before this because of all the negatives I had read. So far, I have not taken any medication and am a thin diabetic. Any suggestions?
Thin diabetic? What do you mean, thin diabetic? I have never met anybody alive who couldn't handle fruit on being diabetic. For example, Robert is also diabetic, and he's eating fruit. Is it true, Robert?
Yeah, what I see sometimes is maybe a little spike, but it goes right back down in my blood sugar. So I haven't noticed any problem with eating it.
Yeah. And my son Sergey, he was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 9, and he enjoys eating everything. He actually claims that watermelons helps him to, feel better. He claimed it when he was 9, and now he just loves them. So I don't think fruit, because fruit has a simple sugar that's natural, and it comes with an enzyme called amylase. And the complex sugar that comes from pasta or potato or bread or sugar or candy is a complex sugar, and that one which actually is damaging. But, of course, you have to watch. You cannot just live on sugars alone. I think it's a good idea to balance them with greens, and that's how blending greens and fruits comes healthy and helpful.
I also remember being taught by one of the doctors that the sugar that's in fruit is also fibrous, so your body does not absorb the sugar as fast as it does with processed food because it's still held inside the fiber. So you obtain the sugar, but at a much lower rate, too.
Okay. Next question. This is from Lori in California. Once you start eating raw, after eating a meal and feeling full but also still felt hungry, did you experience this? And if you did, what happened?
Oh, yeah. Eat 100% raw was really difficult. I know that you're still detoxing when you start and begin, so your body sends out signals and tells you, hey, you know what? You want to go get that juicy Whopper down at Burger King, or there's something you're constantly craving these other foods because that's what you're so used to eating all the time. And I did. I would have the horrible cravings. When I work at Costco, we have this place called an Outback Steakhouse, and sometime around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they fire up their burners, and they have their bloomin' onions and their steak frying on the grill, and it was murder. I would be walking around pushing shopping carts, and these guys are smoking it up over there with a great barbecue, and I'm thinking, sitting here eating my stupid fruit and vegetables. That's how I felt. I'm like, man, I got to eat this junk, and I'm getting all this stuff. Oh, man, I can't handle it. I don't know what it was that just kept me going, but whether it was my faith or whatever it was, I just kept talking to myself, I got to stick to what I'm doing. I know I got to do this. I was told, if I didn't lose my weight in 2 to 4 years, I was going to die. So I just tried to stick my head down and suck it up and deal with it. It was very difficult, and I had all the same symptoms of cravings, and I don't know exactly what to do to get rid of that kind of craving other than to hang in there, and it's only going to last for about 3 to 4 weeks, and it will subside up almost completely by the 8th week.
Yes, this is actually one of the symptoms of diabetes, is constant hunger, and many people claim that it's the hunger that one cannot overcome, and together with the cracked soles, cracked bottoms of the feet, and a blurry vision.
Oh, frequent urination.
Frequent urination, yeah. Constant hunger. There was one more. Protruding belly. Does it feel better now? Do you have less cravings?
Oh yeah, I don't. Every now and then I think about it, and I think, oh, that would be kind of nice. But you know what?
But not like murder craving?
Not murder anymore. Yeah, it's so much easier now. Life has gotten so much more simpler. I can have a Costco pizza right under my nose, or a rotisserie chicken or whatever. It's steaming in my face. And it smells wonderful. Even a chocolate pie I've seen on the break room table, I can put it in my face, and this chocolate smells so good. But I just don't desire to eat it anymore where I did before. It was horrible.
I'm sure it's great to know for those who are still going through the beginning stage. Okay, more questions?
Okay, this question is also from Lori. Why take barley grass powder? Don't the greens already have what you need in them?
Okay, barley grass powder is a very important thing to have to help you with your hunger as well. But you should always drink your powdered greens on an empty stomach. Never add them to your smoothies. I hear people doing this all the time. Oh, it makes me feel better. Well, it's not doing anything for you. You got to get it out of your head that you can add greens, powdered greens, to your smoothies. One rule I've learned is that powdered greens attach themselves to fiber, and smoothies are 90% fiber. So you got to be careful when you do that. So when you have your greens, you need to drink them with water on an empty stomach so your body can naturally absorb them. Otherwise, they're just going to attach right to the the blended food in your smoothies or whatever food and pass right through you without hardly any nutrition going into your body at all. That is what I have learned. And there is scientific proof of this that it happens. But I don't know, maybe Victoria would know more about why it's important to have the powdered greens. But I do know they do help you with your hunger.
Well, I think this is a concentrated, more concentrated nutrition. Because through the years of being overweight, a person accumulates deficiencies. Maybe that's why. And that helps to nourish the missing, to add missing nutrients. But eventually, maybe you will do fine. Also, I don't know, maybe erosion of the soil and all these things. I believe that organic green smoothies have everything in them, but in a transition like yours, I would do whatever which it works.
Yeah, my doctor was Dr. Donato, he was having me do that as part of my drinks throughout the day. Even when I exercise, it would be good to have green powdered drinks or water because it helps provide all the nutrients that you normally have, even though that they're broken down. But you still, it helps you build muscle. There is so much protein in the greens that you don't have to, what I'm trying to say is part of getting rid of your cravings and part of exercising, it has to. You should probably use the greens. That's why it's real important. It does have protein.
Okay, so the idea seems like all kinds of greens, greens juiced, greens blended, and greens powdered. As much nutrition into you as possible. I think that's the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
Also, you know, the greens are extremely important. I believe that if you can get your greens through your freshest manner of just leafy greens in a blender, it's the best.
Okay. This next question from Lori is also about detox. As I understand, you did a colon cleanse within the first few weeks. And if so, did the cleanse clear out the rest of the detox symptoms? And is that when you really started to feel good?
I did start to feel better, but it took me a lot longer than a couple of weeks. You never stop detoxing if you're losing weight. Your body stores acid in fat cells and the acids that we eat. So there are constant poisons coming out into your blood system when you're losing weight. So when I did a colon cleanse, even though I was able to keep my colon clear, I was still feeling detox, and I still have detoxes today. I noticed stuff even after 6 months of 100% raw. My detoxes come in more of physical features like a pimple or I notice I have headaches, and I have every now and then I have a fever blister break out on my upper lip, and I had boils on the back of my inner thighs that'll pop up, flare up every now and then, but they go away, and the headaches go away, just not for very long. I believe I was taught by Dr. Donato to colon cleanse to help prevent the constipation that can happen during the transition from processed foods into a more raw lifestyle. And so it's just there to help you get that out so you don't feel the detox as much as you can, because those poisons when they're coming out can cause some really bad reactions. And you, like I said, can end up in a hospital and you don't, that's not a very pretty thing.
I recently had a retreat that was together, green smoothies and the work of Byron Katie, spiritual green smoothie retreat for 6 days. And we had about 40 people there, and everybody started to detox by the third day. And on the fourth day, everybody were pretty much sick. Most people had headache, were trembling, shaking, had all kinds of rash or boils. And some people were constipated, and some people had diarrhea. And on the sixth day, everybody were over the most detox. And at this point, on the third day, I started to look for a local colon hydrotherapist, and I found one, and we started to send people, arrange a special rate for them and sending them to colonics, and right after colonics, everybody felt relief. So I think that it definitely helps to detox, to ease up the detox. And by the sixth day, everybody's eyes were clear and everybody were feeling so much better that most people said they never knew they could feel that well. Also, my sister, who is 22 years younger than me, came to visit here now. And when she came and started living with my family and she began eating food, raw food with us, she started to detox also. She developed fever and heavy headaches, and I had to make appointments for her for colonics. She made so far 5 colonics and passed some pretty bad boulders. And now she's over her headache. She lost 10 pounds. She's eating 100% raw, drinking smoothies. She's 31 years old. Her vision improved. And so I do believe that colonics help with the heavy detox especially. And it's very interesting that you say that as long as you lose weight, then the detox continues. That's a very good point. I believe that's true. Thank you.
Okay. This next question is from Faith in Minnesota. Do you ever hear about people having gas problems with smoothies? I find I have to let my smoothie digest pretty well before eating some non-raw concentrated type food, like protein or starchy stuff, or else I can get bad gas. Any comments?
I'll let you go ahead, Victoria. I do have something to say about it, though.
Yeah. I've noticed that some people who are having a habit of eating fast, they develop gas. So please drink your smoothie slowly. You're right, you shouldn't combine green smoothie with any other foods. I've heard people drinking smoothie and eating bread at the same time, or eating it right after the meal, big meal. That's not a good idea. I think we should consume our green smoothies separately, as a separate meal. I always suggest first thing in the morning, and drink them slowly. Don't just gulp them, but kind of chew them. Okay?
Yeah, I was also taught a lot of people will get gas in the beginning when you're starting to transition into raw, when you mix your fruits and vegetables together at the same time. But I was talking to Victoria about that earlier, and she agreed that it depends on how your body feels and what your cravings are and things like that. But I do know, if you do mix some vegetables with fruits, and leafy greens are not vegetables, they are in their own category. But fruits and vegetables, somehow they digest at a different rate, so that could cause some gas. So maybe your green smoothies and vegetables should be drank at least a half hour apart from each other.
Yeah, so if you're eating salad and then drinking green smoothie, that should be done separately. Because if you have any starchy vegetables in your salad, like for example carrot or broccoli or beets, they do not combine very well with fruit. And also, some people by mistake place carrots in their green smoothie, and it's not a good combination because carrots are vegetable. They have starch. Starch and fruits are not a good combination. Green leaves are not vegetable. They don't have starch, and they combine very well with the fruit. So that's not a cause for the gas. But if you put something that's starchy in it, that could cause gas.
Yeah, I was getting some really bad... I wanted to try and be more creative with my smoothies, and I decided to juice my carrots and use that instead of water in my smoothies just to, to be smart about it. Turned out that I got a real bad acid stomach because my hydrochloric acid was still low, and I've started doing that. So my doctor suggested to cut back on the carrot juice with my smoothie, and that did help. So you'll find those kind of reactions too.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I think this one might be directed more at Victoria. It's also from Faith. I was surprised to see the percentages of 60% fruit and 40% greens for smoothies. I thought it would be more greens and less fruit, that the fruit was there to make the greens more palatable, but the point was to have a way to consume a good amount of greens. How do you determine the percentages, by weight or volume? Is there anything wrong with having more greens and less fruit?
Thank you, Faith. This is one of the most typical questions. I always answer that you can put any percentage that you personally feel best for you. I put 60% fruit for the beginners because most people feel about greens that they're not very palatable. They're not really excited about them. Some people even say, oh, gross, they're so green. And some people cannot even tolerate greens if there are 80% fruit and only 20% of greens. But usually, as soon as people begin to consume green smoothie on a regular basis, within a matter of days, they begin to crave more greens into their smoothies. For example, when we had our retreat for 6 days, by the end of the sixth day, everybody wanted to have 60% greens and 40% fruit, which is normal. And there, I have created a new way, new type of green smoothie. I call them super green smoothies, which consists of 95% greens and only a small handful of non-sweet vegetable. For example, one bunch of dandelion and two Roma tomatoes. You can try it and see how you like it. My daughter says it's disgusting, but that's what I like. Okay, bye-bye. Here's more questions.
Okay, this is also from Faith. Perhaps, Clint, you can answer this. I love my green smoothies. Use apples, kale, celery, parsley, and cilantro. I notice I often feel kind of hungry right after drinking the smoothie. Do you notice that? Any suggestions for dealing with it?
You know, I did have that experience in the very beginning, but I think that will go away eventually. Give it a couple weeks. You shouldn't feel that way. If you're hungry, eat. Don't be a fool. Eat. If you're hungry, there's no sense in being hungry. And find something else to eat along the lines of what goes in the smoothie. Instead of having just a smoothie, grab a peach and chew on that. It's going to help alleviate those cravings. And that's what worked for me anyway.
Okay. One more question from Faith. I read Valerie Winters' blog and noticed she had a problem with moodiness and irritability when on the green smoothies. Then I read her recipes and saw she was including things like garlic, onions, and fresh ginger. I think those were quite possibly causing the moodiness and should be left out. Do you agree?
Victoria, I have no idea how to answer that.
Well, there could be thousands or more reasons to be moody. There could be some circumstances in one's life. There could be just challenges. There could be just hormonal disbalances. And I don't know that garlic necessarily will cause. There are many more than garlic and ginger. I noticed that her smoothies were complicated, but they worked for her. She was able to live on them for almost 9 months. So whatever works, I'm for that. As far as garlic, I didn't touch garlic for 2 years. Couldn't even stand the smell of it. But recently, about maybe 3 weeks ago, I suddenly started to crave garlic again. I went to the farmer's market, bought garlic, and placed it in my salad and in my smoothie. And I don't know what really happens, why it happens, but I believe in intuition and in intelligence of the human body, because our body is performing constantly as many functions as there are stars on the sky. And why would I doubt if my body craves garlic, why would I doubt it could be beneficial for it? So I go for it. Thank you.
I don't put those things in there just because I don't want to get the stomach acid reaction, but if you can handle it, I guess it would be great to do.
Okay. Clint, what are your favorite green smoothies?
Well, my favorite green smoothies, generally, I'm not a big sweet guy. I know a lot of people are into more sweet and they want to add more fruit. I generally... I can give you kind of a recipe or some ideas, but, you know, most of my stuff about smoothies came from Victoria's books. So I would start off with one of her smoothies and as a good base and then experiment from there. You know, she has one that would be a cup of strawberries, two bananas, half a bunch of kale, and 2 cups of filtered pure water. Well, if you get tired of drinking something on those lines, I would go add something different, like a mango, or instead of kale, try a different green. Put dandelion greens in there, or some collard greens, you know, anything you can think of. One of my favorites is beet greens. I don't really get much flavor from it, so I get the, so I taste the fruit a little more, and it really helps me find a better balance for my flavor. And it's all about what I crave for the day. I'll add more of one type of thing than another just to get that kind of, like if you were going to throw cilantro in there and you're looking for that flavor, it definitely accents the whole green smoothie. So, and like today I had I put a slice of pineapple in there. I've never done that before, and I was amazed. It was awesome. And so I'm always experimenting, and I could encourage you, those of you who are listening, to experiment as much as you can, because you'll find that something you really didn't like when you first tried it, like 6-8 weeks later, you'll go back and try the same recipe, and you're like, whoa, this tastes better, because you're constantly, your taste buds are constantly changing and growing to more of what your lifestyle is at the time. So when you change your lifestyle from burgers to fruits and vegetables, you start craving the fruits and vegetables more than the burgers.
I would like to take this opportunity and to recommend and remind everybody that it's the summertime and it's time for harvesting wild edibles or what we call weeds. For example, I was inspired by a man from Seattle who I heard about from him recently. He was told by his dentist that his gums are in such a bad shape that he needs a surgery. And then he started to drink a lot of green smoothie made out of wild weeds. He was using stinging nettles and lambsquarters, purslane, dandelions. I think he told me half a gallon a day. And then within 2 months, his gums became light pink and firm, and the doctor couldn't believe what a big difference it was. It was a very inspiring story. So, for example, yesterday I collected purslane. Purslane is like thick, succulent green that you can find anywhere on like pastures and in a prairie and in some on some farmers' markets. Be sure that you know how it looks. You don't eat anything poison, please. But I just collected that. And purslane is one of the very few greens in the world that has omega-3 oil in it. Actually, the green that has omega-3, like fish. Very, very valuable. So I collected both stems and green leaves, and I didn't add any water. I just added half of the medium-sized cucumber in it, and I used a plunger, and I blended it in Vitamix blender like a puree, like a sauce. And I added one small clove of garlic to it, and that's it. That was it. Nothing else. It was so good. I'm salivating now remembering it. It was so good. So I'll give you back to Clint.
Yes, I was, my wife just reminded me that she bought some of that stuff for me yesterday, the greens, and I was adding those things to my smoothie. Do you remember what it was called again? Purslane? Oh, that's what I was eating, purslane. Okay. I didn't know what it was, but it sure looked funky, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, they sell all kinds of weeds now in Ashland Market only because we keep asking farmers. We keep coming and saying, don't pull your weeds, bring them here. We'll buy them from you. They sell here lambsquarters and purslane and others. So you just talk to your farmers at the farmer's market. They all have weeds. They throw them away. Instead, you buy them from them. So they say, I'll pay you twice as much as for the kale because it does have twice as many nutrients in them because of the longer roots.
And they don't taste bad, actually. You'd be surprised that, you know, when you try your different edibles or different edible greens, grab a leaf and chew on and see what you think. Be careful of the mustard greens, though. It might turn your eyes cross. Boy. That's a little spicy.
Okay, next question. Do you use organic ingredients or whatever is offered at the market?
Well, sometimes I'm forced into using what I can. I try to be 100% organic if I can. It's just really hard to find organic produce sometimes. And I know in some of the rural areas it is too. Just try to do your best to eat as many as you can, a different variety of things, so you have an opportunity to have more organic stuff, because you don't know. I know there is a lot more nutrients in organic, but That's what I do. I get pretty much what is offered, but I try to find organic if I can.
Yeah, and please remember that organic is not only because it doesn't have pesticides, but mostly because organic has a lot more nutrition. For example, organic tomato has almost 1,500 times more of iron than non-organic tomato. 1,500 times more. Is it 1,500 times more expensive? No. And I wanted to ask Clint, can you please spend about 5 minutes telling us about your friend, Dr. Donato, who is another hero of ours? Dr. Donato?
Yeah, he's a real sweet man. His nickname is Coconut. I've been reading that. I've never called him Coconut, but when you get to know him, he sounds very technical, very straight and to the point. He really genuinely loves people, and he really loves to help them. And it's so nice to be around someone like him. It's really refreshing. I can be myself around him and talk about things I wouldn't normally talk to other people about. And, you know, I can ask him anything. And he's been a great teacher. He has a Get Healthy boot camp that he put together on his own that he learned from Hallelujah Acres, which was an 85%, 15% cooked, 85% raw. And he tries to teach people to start their raw lifestyle in that direction, because it's so hard to go 100% raw right away. You got to transition. And his course was really easy. It was all hands-on, and it was just a lot of fun. He is involved in all kinds of extracurricular activities as well. I mean, I recently experienced him breaking his weightlifting record of 1,060 pounds with his legs at the gym. And this man only weighs 127 pounds. And he attests to that with his raw power, just his raw food power. That's just amazing. He climbs Mount Whitney once a year. And if people don't know what Mount Whitney is, 14,505 feet, and it's the tallest mountain in the United States.
The doctor who climbs mountains.
Yeah, it's the tallest mountain in the United States and the lowest elevation. And it's a rigorous hike. It's not really a climb. It's more of a hike. So that's what's nice about it. He invites people to go with him who are on his raw team to join him. And I am doing that this year.
Wow, Clint.
I can't believe that 6 months ago I was over 400 pounds, and here I am in September. I'm going to be climbing Mount Whitney with him and his other friends. And he has some medical doctors going with us as well. So that's going to be neat, because I'm sure they'll be keeping tabs on how I'm doing while I climb. And I think by that time I should only be about 220. Right now I'm at 236, so I should be around close to 220 by then. And he says, you know, you'll lose about 10 pounds on just the climb. But, you know, Dr. Donato is an amazing guy. He does a lot of things. He's like the Portland Marathon and other marathons I've read about that he's been doing more and more since he became raw. He's been 100% raw for over a year now, and he just celebrated his anniversary on that, as well as I have. I just celebrated my 6 month last week. That was amazing.
Do you remember his email?
Yes, he has his email address. Let's see, what is his email address? You can find his email address on.
Maybe Robert could look it up and let us know.
I believe it's dmiven@msn.com.
Yeah, let's just check.
But
for
you
sure.
know. You can find out for sure on his website, and it's dolphindoctor.org.
Yeah.
Dolphindoctor.org.
And he's an amazing person. He dares to give his talks at the local medical hospital, and he dares to invite all the medical doctors and medical professions to his lectures, and they come and they listen. He gives them books about raw food. They read, and they even change their diet. So Dr. Miven, and he does send emails, and he has boot camps, and he does take patients from neighboring states here. He's a local doctor. He's in Oregon, and he is becoming really popular and busy right now. He's a doctor of the future, I call him.
Yeah, you can talk. You can actually see information about him on his website. He has all the information about his educational background and what he does at the center. And if you wanted to ask him a question or send something, it's info@dolphindoctor.org. It's dolphindoctor.org. I know he's a busy guy, so he may not be able to answer all the questions that come in, but he would, if you were in the area, he wouldn't mind meeting you. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, I read in one of the emails locally here that he helped about 120 people in the last year reverse their degenerative condition that medical doctors refused from these people, all kinds of levels of conditions, and he reversed all these people back to normal, healthy living.
Yeah, I really love the story about the woman with the MS that joined his program, and when I first came and spoke with him at one of his free seminars at Providence Hospital, this woman walked in with a walker, and she was kind of humped over, and she was having a difficult time, and now I've heard that she's thrown her walker to the side, and she walks like a normal person now, and she has MS, and now her symptoms have almost completely gone away.
Wow.
And it's just amazing,
yes.
And it's just a transition into the raw world, raw power, baby.
Okay, I'm sure many people are thinking right now, how do I find someone like Dr. Donato in my area?
There's a lot of health ministers in the United States. They're becoming. There's more and more every day. I would go to Hallelujah Acres. These are the guys that actually teach an 85-15% raw program. Dr. Donato went the extra mile and teaches a 100% as well, which I am learning from him. And you would go to H Acres, I believe it's HACRES.com, and you will find somebody there who can answer that question for you. They can find out where the doctor is in your area, and you can go meet up with them, give them a call. I know they're all over the United States.
Many of them are not doctors. They're just regular people who
exactly.
Took the training with Reverend George Malkmus and became health ministers. But I believe that Dr. Donato has 3 different credentials, and he is about to become a real doctor, a medical doctor, like in about a year. So he is kind of unique in his way. Okay.
Yeah, I just recently was speaking to him, and he's finishing up a course in neurology that he's been doing for a while, and it's been a rigorous thing for him. But yeah, he is very broad. You know, he knows a lot of stuff in the medical field, and he would surprise you when you talk to him. People say, well, he's not a medical doctor. Well, if you listen to him, he'll tell you. He knows all the information. He may not have a license, but he's very close to it. Great guy. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, next question.
Okay, this is from Thomas in Omaha. I love Igor's crackers and other raw flax foods, but even a small amount seems to clean me out terribly. Is this common?
Well, flaxseed has a lot of fiber. It's one of the fiber champions, and at the same time, it's extremely healthy. It's rich in protein. Even on nutritiondata.com, which is the official USDA site, it's listed as a complete source of protein. It's unbelievable. It's 92%. It covers, 1 cup of flax per day covers 100%, 92% of your protein needs. However, I don't know how you eat your crackers or how you eat your flax. If it's ground, it shouldn't be a problem. Maybe you shouldn't eat that much, or maybe you're low in hydrochloric acid. Maybe you eat too fast. But if it clears you out, is it a good thing or a bad thing? If it's a good thing, then don't worry. If it's a bad thing, if it disturbs you, then slow down, eat less. So it's just, I cannot really answer to this completely in one. I need to know more, but I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm just sharing with you what I know about flaxseed.
Okay, this question is from Lori in California again. Has your wife joined you in the raw lifestyle, or do you have to put your own meals together?
Misty's a little shy on talking to people. But I can tell you that she supports me 100% in what I do, and I do have to create my own meals every day, and I demand to do that because I'm trying to figure out what I like, and if I fail, I'd rather pick on myself than to bother her with it. But she does. She is very supportive. She will, because I work a lot more than she does. She will go out of her way to go make sure that she picks up all of my stuff at the market for me.
She even tattooed your name on her arm.
Oh, she's an amazing woman. I hadn't even asked her to marry me yet, and she went and had my name put on her arm. It was amazing.
And when you drove our float to the parade, 4th of July, when we all dressed like mermaids, she came with us.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful part of our team.
She's very supportive. She sticks with me 100%. I know this, you know, a lot of couples prefer to have a spouse that's following what they're doing, but Misty is different with me in my situation. I don't have anybody else in my family doing what I'm doing, so I'm really relying on my experience from Dr. Donato and his information, and she does listen to everything that I do. She took the course with me and learned a lot of the stuff that I do, so she knows how to eat. I think when she first started with me, she tried to do it, but you know, everybody has their own timing for weight loss or for getting healthy, and right now, at that point in time, wasn't that time for her. She wasn't ready for it, and it was more about what I was doing, because I was told I had to lose the weight or die in the next 2 to 4 years, so I was hungry for something to change my life, and that's how we transitioned. But she's followed me the whole way, other than doing it herself, and you know, maybe one day if she feels like it, she will.
Clint,
I really appreciate your
ability to live with someone who is not completely doing what you're doing. That you are a perfect example, you too, that it is possible. So often I receive emails from people who say, I cannot do it because my husband doesn't do it. Or I cannot do it because, you know, this and that, my children don't support me. You are a wonderful, wonderful example, and I want to thank you. And Misty, thank you for giving support to Clint, even not doing eating with him from the same plate. And I'm sure that it's just a matter of time, having that much love and peace as you two share. Thank you so much for sharing your family life with us.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another question. How did you commit to what some people think of as an extreme choice?
Well, like I said before, I was put in a position that I didn't really like very much, and I did have to find a way to lose the weight or die. That was a very big motivation behind my transition right there. I think that it does sound extreme, but when you're trying to get healthy, you're going to be willing to do whatever it takes. And just like, you know, I look for inspirations from Dr. Donato, you know, I don't mind helping you guys out. If anybody has a question, go to my email address, clentmanich@yahoo.com. That's clentmanich at yahoo.com, and ask me some questions. I've been trying my best to answer them as they come in. Sometimes I get overwhelmed and flooded with stuff, as we are with questions today. But I'll do my best to help inspire you. But for transitioning to something that's 100, you know, for something you consider extreme, it wasn't as difficult for me as it probably you would think it would be once I introduced the green smoothies into my life, because it was a lot easier to kill my cravings with the smoothies. So, anyway.
It's interesting how to die is like normal and to survive could be extreme. It's almost like paradoxical.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to tell everybody, you still have a chance to send your question to Clint right now by email. And I would like to ask Robert to unmute us for a minute so Clint could hear your feedback. I think he was doing a wonderful, wonderful job here sharing with us. You, Clint, are making a difference. Thank you so much. So now you could talk to us if there are anybody there still on the phone. I know it's expensive to be on the phone, so it's if anybody, talk to us. Hello?
I have a question.
Where are you from?
Williams Lake in British Columbia.
British Columbia, welcome. Here, Clint is here for you.
Clint,
did you like his presentation?
Yes, I love it.
Is there anything else that you would like to know?
Or what
is your question?
My question is, maybe it's more to Victoria or to you because you've both used the greens. Can you dehydrate the wild greens for winter use?
I think you could. It definitely will lose 15 to 20% of the value, maybe more. But that's what powders are. They're dehydrated. I know my friend went to India, and she dehydrated lots of kale and spinach, and she grinded it in her blender in a dry container and took a whole big box of like plastic jar of powdered kale and spinach that she made on her own and survived there for more than a month by just blending it with water and drinking it. So I think you could do it. That will be one way.
Yeah, Dr. Donato advised me to think about what I'm going to do when I climb Mount Whitney coming up here pretty soon. We're going to fast the day before because we don't really want to have to worry about going to the bathroom that much. So he said what we need to do is dehydrate our green smoothies. So I'm going to find my favorite recipe and dehydrate that because I'll get all my best nutrients that I need for the climb.
Sure.
Yeah.
Clint, can you tell us how old are you?
Oh, I'm 39, and I'll be 40 in April.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else there?
Thank you
Hello?
Very much.
Hello?
Am I
Hello?
The only one on the phone?
Yeah,
oh,
well, everybody else is online.
Yeah, well, I have to be on my phone line to be online.
Oh, okay. Here's another question from online.
This is from Valerie in California. Being an estrogen receptor positive breast cancer survivor who gained over 90 pounds during conventional medical treatment, I've been trying to get healthy and heal naturally from the effects of chemo and radiation. I have been told that I should stay away from flax and soy and other pseudoestrogens. Are there any natural foods that I should keep from my diet as I make the transition from an addicted sad diet to a healthy raw diet?
I would think that a variety of greens would satisfy what you're asking for. I think just variety of greens. It's very important that you rotate your greens in your smoothies and in your diet every day. Okay. Are there more questions coming?
I have a question. I just wondered, because I hear so many people talking about Clint,
can you tell us how you go visit somebody? What do you do? Do you take your food with you? How do you?
Yes, I can. At this point, somebody was trying to come through. I could barely hear them. Can you try talking louder?
Oh, okay. I have a question. So many of the people are talking about losing weight and all this, but for people who are trying to gain a little bit of weight, I have a question is how would you recommend for someone trying to go on raw, what kind of raw foods to eat so that we don't lose weight?
Okay, let me answer that. Some people cannot gain weight, and it's a different story that when people lose weight. When people lose weight or become thin, it's not because they don't have enough fat in their diet. It's because they possibly are toxic and their system is shut down and doesn't allow any nutrients to penetrate into the system because together with nutrients, they get toxins. And these people usually think that if they eat nuts, they will gain weight. But this is a big mistake. By eating nuts or any other fats, they're actually going to lose more weight because the system is going to shut down even more. For these people, including easy digestible, nutritious foods will be the solution. I know a score of people who've been known as thin for many years, and as soon as they started to consume a lot of green smoothies, they were able to gain 20 and more pounds in a very short time and started to look normal. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate the information.
You're welcome. So would you tell us how you visit, how do you go to visit your friends? How do you go out?
I had one experience. I generally don't go out and eat with my friends that much. I've been really busy. But when I do, I had an experience when I had a meet with somebody. And I took an ice chest of green smoothies with me. And
the ice chest.
Yeah, I were going away for a couple of days to visit my friends, and I decided that that I know that they can last in refrigeration up to 3 days, so I went ahead and prepared them ahead of time, and then when I got to where we were going to go eat out to dinner, I drank a green smoothie really fast, so I was kind of full, and then when I went to the all you can eat place, I ended up eating. There's somebody talking in the background.
Yeah, because they're not. Can you mute them,
okay,
please?
I was able to just grab a plate full of veggies and it's like a salad. I found that it was easy to put maybe like a little bit of vinegar or something on my, so I didn't have a bad kind of dressing on top of my lettuce and stuff, and I had little pieces of fruit and things like that that I could find, and I was very happy because I had already eaten before I got there, and I was able to munch on that and be like a part of things, and also I tell my friends kind of what's going on in my life and how I'm transitioning so they understand how I'm eating so that we can go ahead and move on with our normal conversation and things like that.
Great, so it worked.
It worked great.
Well, I just want to say that our time is coming to an end. The time went kind of fast. And thank you for sharing all of this, a lot of information. And I want to say that our this teleconference will be available still for more purchases for a while. Robert, how long will it be? Till August 3rd? Till August 30th it will be available. And then after this we're going to remove it because we're not going to... we're not going to keep it because this information gets old and it needs to be updated. But sometime in the future, we'd like to follow up with Clint and maybe invite him when he will climb, after he climbs Mount Whitney, and or whenever in December. We'll just either write updates in our newsletters.
Oh, absolutely.
Or just have you back. And so... thank you, everybody, for participating, and thank you, Robert, Jan, thank you, Misty, and thank you, Clint.
And thank you for having me.
And we wish you continuous improvement, success, and you are making a difference. What a happiness.
Yeah.
What a great purpose and mission in life. Thank you so much. From everybody who is listening, I want to thank you, Clint, for what you're doing, and you, Misty, for your support.
And thank you, friend.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. And I want to thank Dr. Donato, too. Okay. Okay. Well, have a wonderful day or night or morning or evening. Goodbye. Till next time.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end. Welcome to the conferencing service. Please enter your conference ID followed by the pound sign. Thank you. Please hold while we validate your conference. Thank you. Please hold while we validate your conference ID. Conference ID accepted. The moderator has not yet arrived. Please wait.